You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
How do we Christians live in our world? As you can tell, I've got a little voice problem. I've kind of battled it here this week, and so I apologize for a little different kind of voice here today, but we'll hopefully make it through. But we often answer that question by saying we are in the world, but not of the world. Christ's teachings are direct and to the point, and using two simple metaphors, Jesus explained to some extent our relationship with those around us who are not Christ followers. And that was the text that Ryan just read this morning from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And it seems to me that one of the most incredible words in these verses is that second person pronoun, you. To all of us who have chosen to follow him, you are salt and light. And these two word pictures suggest two important principles. Number one, we must not be identical. To be the salt of the gospel, we must not be mixed with the sand of unrighteousness. Even though a Christian works in the same office building as that worldly man, there must be something different about him. Even though a Christian teenager goes to the same school and has the same friends, she is different to some extent from her peers. But number two, we must not be isolated. As the children's song instructs us, hide it under a bushel. What's the next word?
No.
Very good. Okay. Hide it under a bushel? No. Just before his death, Jesus prayed about his followers and their place in the world. This is John 17. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. So we who seek to follow Jesus Christ have been called to be in the world, but not of the world. As Christians wanting to live as Jesus would, we must remember the words of the old song that we have just sung, "This world is not my home." We live, work, play, raise families here in this world, but we really do not belong here. That's why the Bible refers to the people of faith as aliens and strangers. Hebrews chapter 11, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And then 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. And so the most powerful thing the people of God can do in this world is to live as the people of God. God has placed us in communities of faith where the faith, hope, and love of the gospel can be lived out. We are called by Christ to live out the truth of the gospel in the midst of this world. We are not of this world. We cannot conform to the thinking and living of this world. We must not be of the world if we are to follow Jesus. We are to be distinctive, but we must also be in the world. Rather than escape, hide, build high walls, and then pull up the drawbridge, we must open ourselves to men and women who are lost in every sense of the word. Now let's come back to those images of salt and light. Three qualities of salt. Salt was connected with purity. If we are to be the salt of the earth, we must be examples of purity. One of the characteristics of the world in which we live is the lowering of standards. Standards of honesty, diligence at work, moral standards, all tend to be lowered. The Christian must be the person who holds aloft the standard of purity in speech, in conduct, and even in thought. But salt was the commonest of all preservatives. If the Christian is to be the salt of the earth, he or she must have a certain preserving influence on life. And then salt lends flavor to life. Christianity is to life what salt is to food. Christianity lends flavor to life. Now I realize that sometimes people have connected Christianity with precisely the opposite, which takes the flavor out of life. But people need to discover the radiance of the Christian faith, the light of the world. As long as we are connected to the source of life, light, Jesus himself, then we can indeed be the light of the world. Well, what did he mean? Well, a light is something which is meant to be seen. Our Christianity should be visible in the way we treat a shop assistant across from the counter, in the way we order a meal at the restaurant, in the way we treat our employees or serve our employer, in the way we play a game or drive a car, in the daily language that we use. A Christian should be as much a Christian in the factory, the workplace, the shipyard, the schoolroom, the kitchen, the golf course, the playing field, as he is here in church. And then light is a guide. A Christian must make the way clear to others. He is to be an example. The world needs its guiding lights. And Jesus and his word are our guiding lights. Psalm 119 reminds us, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But a light can often be a warning light. A light is often the warning which tells us to halt when there is danger ahead. And it is sometimes the Christian's duty to bring to his fellow men the necessary warning. Now that's often difficult. But if warnings are not given in anger or irritation or criticism, not in condemnation, not in the desire to hurt, but in love, then I believe they can be effective. Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. A couple of final observations. People are to see our good deeds. That's what Jesus said in the text that was read this morning. That when they observe our good deeds, they can indeed, and then those good deeds ought to draw attention not to ourselves, but to God. The Christian does not think of what he has done, but of what God enabled him to do. He does not seek to draw the eyes of men to himself, but always to direct them to God. Our theme for 2018 is together. And I want to challenge us this morning. Let's work together to be the salt of the earth and to be the light of the world. Every one of us go out there and be that salt and be that light. And if we are in this together, then we can certainly make a tremendous impact in our community, in our city, and in our world. But we are together. And that we have been using the Acts 2 passage about they ate their meals together with sincerity and gladness of hearts. And so we want to have that kind of attitude, working together with sincerity, with gladness of heart, but recognizing that all of us, every one of us here occupying these pews today, Jesus is challenging you. And I just cannot stop from being amazed when he said to those disciples, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are to be the light of the world." And I think if we're in this together, then we can certainly make an impact in this world. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 reminded us that whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do it all to the glory of God. That's why we're here. That's your purpose and that's my purpose, is to bring glory to God. And if we are out there as that salt and as that light, then I believe that is exactly what each one of us will be doing. And what greater accomplishment could any of us ever conceive of than to know that we are doing our best to bring glory to God? Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Let's work together to do that here in 2018. We're going to sing our song of encouragement, and if there's anyone here today who is ready to receive the gospel of Christ through faith, repentance, baptism, we encourage you to take that step today. If there's anyone here today who desires the prayers of the congregation, we're here to pray with you and to pray for you. And so if there's anyone who is ready to respond to the gospel invitation, we would invite you to come right now as together we stand and sing.